I was reminded that I missed one announcement. So maybe I won't get 10 lashes for this. But those that aren't going to the feast, unable to attend the Feast of Tabernacles, and if you would like to make a donation for those people, since they're left behind, they usually go out to lunch and whatever while we are at the feast. But if you want to donate monies to these people, for these people, see Mrs. Joan Long. She's in charge of this, so if you have any funds you would like to share for that cause, then please see her. Well, this is test day. Everybody is on the list for a test. And I hope you come out for 100. We all are tested. God tests us all the time. So I'm going to leave you. I don't know what your score will be. Don't want to know. But you can put it on your paper. And you can grade yourself. And at the end, you will be able to answer the question that I will ask. So all that I know is to be fair with yourself. God knows about you. I don't. He can see your inner heart, your thoughts, and all of the things about you. I don't know those things, but God does. But my question is, what makes a teachable person? What makes a teachable person? You know, through the years, I know you have been involved with people that would not listen to anything that you suggested, and they just didn't want to be taught. And we don't want to call them hardheads, but they just don't want to be taught. Teaching is a great responsibility, and yet this is one of the responsibilities that we all have in one way or another to teach. Now, I'm not saying that everybody, needs to get up before a group of people and, talk. That's fine if you have that opportunity. But you teach every day, brethren, by example. Somebody, whether you know it or not, but somebody always watches what you do. And even at that, God sees you daily. So, you have the responsibility. There are certain things that we must ask ourselves on a daily basis as we go through life, whether or not we are fulfilling the calling that has been given to each one of us as children in the family of God. Since we became teachers, since we are to become teachers, I should say, in the millennium, we must be training now. Now, I'm always talking about training because I know this is so important that when we stand before thousands and thousands of people in the millennium, God wants us to be educated in His way of life. To become an effective teacher, we must be teachable ourselves. As we prepare for the millennium, we can ask ourselves these questions. Are we teachable? Are we learning? Do we have a burning desire to learn? Do we know the keys to become a great teacher? These questions we will answer as we go through the sermon today. At the end, you and I will know whether or not we are a teachable person. God never asked or assigned his people to a job or responsibility without showing them the way to accomplish the things that he has in mind for us to do. If there is any quality that helps in every area of our life, it is being teachable. Many people in life today could have saved themselves many hours of suffering and pain and even death if only they were teachable. And I know you've had the opportunity to talk to parents in years past that has lost their loved ones, their children, because the children would not obey the parents, would not obey the teachings that the parents was given. God shows us the characteristics of a teachable person. That teachable person must be teachable. So I want to give you the keys to how we can become a teachable person. Hopefully we are. But if we aren't, then I will give you the keys to that. Sermon title, What Makes a Teachable Person? My purpose is to bring to our attention things we must do to be that person. So let's begin by noticing the four characteristics of a teachable person from the Word of God. Number one, a teachable person must be humble. A teachable person must be humble. Please turn to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. We will read verse 7 and 8. From the New King James translations. Verse 7, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. And verse 8, it will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. So humility is the starting point for teachability, because a teachable person show their need for learning. A humble person is aware of his or her weakness and is slow to speak and quick to listen. James chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. James chapter 1, verse 19. Therefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Verse 20, for the wrath of a man does not produce the righteousness of God. So when we talk too much and listen too little, we put ourselves in jeopardy. Maybe we have never thought of our conversation we have with others. They can be uplifting. They can leave a person full of hope. But they can cause that person to desire to end the conversation. We should consider others more highly than ourselves. And, you know, that is... it's easy when we're talking to someone, you know. Mr. League, our minister from the worldwide, he used to say that flapping their jaws. But that's something I guess we can keep in mind. But, you know, sometimes we have the opportunity when we are speaking to others to leave them with lasting thoughts of encouragement, things that will help them, not have the person walk away discouraged and maybe upset. This is something we need to keep in mind. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Verse 3. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in the lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than himself. Just continue to turn over to Proverbs then. Proverbs chapter 11. We will read verse 2. Verse 2 of Proverbs 11. So when pride comes, then comes shame. With the humble is wisdom. Wisdom is our next characteristic. A teachable person must seek wisdom. Wisdom doesn't come by accident. We are to pursue it with all of our hearts in order to grow in every way possible. This means taking time to reflect on our life in relationship to the words of the Scriptures. Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. Verse 13. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 13. Take firm hold of instructions. Do not let go. Keep her, for she is your life. Wisdom can be acquired through diligent search and obedience to God. And if we like and desire wisdom, all we need to do is just ask God. James chapter 1. James chapter 1. And verse 5. James chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives it all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. So we don't have an excuse here, brethren. All we need to do is ask God for wisdom. But one caution that we need to take, brethren, we cannot put our trust in the wisdom of man. Our trust should be in the wisdom of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Let's read some verses there. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Begin reading in verse 19 from the New Living Translation. We will read these verses. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and we will begin. I said 19, we will begin reading in verse, let's see. Yeah, let's begin reading in verse 19. As the scriptures say, I will destroy human wisdom and discard their most brilliant ideas. Verse 18, I know very well how foolish the message of this cross sounds to those who are on the road to destruction, but we who are being saved recognize this message as the very power of God. Verse 20, so where does this leave the philosophers, the scholars, the world's brilliant debaters? God has made them all look foolish, has shown their wisdom to be useless nonsense. Verse 21, since God in his wisdom saw to it that the world would never find him through human wisdom, he has used our foolish preaching to save all who believe. So God's way of thinking is not like the world's. The world's way of thinking is not in way of God's thinking and the world's human wisdom. God offers eternal life, which the world can never give. Let's go to Job. Job chapter 28. Job chapter 28. Because the book of Job shows the power and the wisdom of God. And I think sometimes we fail to understand and recognize and appreciate the God that we serve, and how much that he cares for us. So in Job chapter 28, begin reading in verse 20. From where then does wisdom come? And where is the place of understanding? It is hidden from the eyes of the living and concealed from the birds of the air. Destruction and death say, we have heard a report about it with our ears. So, you know, these are curious questions that he's asking. So we go back to verse 20, where does wisdom come from? Well, we can find the answer to that beginning in verse 23. It says, God understands its way and he knows its place. For he looks to the ends of the earth and sees under the whole heavens. Now, we'll continue in verse 25. To establish the weight for the wind, mete out the waters by measures. When he made a law for the rain, and the path for the thunderbolt, then he saw wisdom and declared it. He prepared it indeed. He searched it out. And to man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. Now we go back and just check back to where we started reading there, and there is some very interesting questions. And I know you have thought about things like this during your years of meditation. But, you know, God has planned all of these things out. He doesn't have to, you know, just guess about anything. In Job, some of Job's writings, you know, he asked these questions. It's a simple thing. Maybe you think about it, maybe you don't, but, you know, where does darkness go when light comes up? go somewhere. God knows where it is. He don't have to recreate darkness and bring it back the next day. It comes back. But he knows where it is. It said God understands his way and he knows his place. Verse 23. And he looks to the end of the earth and sees under the whole heavens. Now, you know, man thinks he discovers a lot of things, which he does in the human sense. But you know, God already knows those things. And so he looks to the end of the earth and see under the whole heavens. So God is able to discern all of the things that's under the earth, all of the things that's in the earth. He sees that. Verse 25 says, to establish the weight for the wind, mete out the waters by measure. We think about the power of God. Now, you just a simple thing. If you pick up a bucket of water, how heavy is that water? Maybe you put 5 gallons in one bucket, you can't hardly lift it. It's heavy. What have you ever think about when it rains? All of the weight over top of your head that's up there, it's more than a bucket of 5 gallons of water. God holds that up. He holds that up by the rain, by the wind. He holds it in place. You have seen places where it rains in one spot and it doesn't rain in another. You know, God has a place for that. We talked about the lightning. God has a place. He knows exactly where those lightning strikes will take place. That's just the wisdom and the power of God. Job affirmed that no animal, no person, or bird can see wisdom, just as one cannot see the mountain, hidden materials that's under the earth. You see, there are things that man does not know. Only God knows. In creating the universe, God determined the elements, the force of the weight of the wind, the amount of water, limit for the rain, and where each thunderstorm would occur. In his creative genius, God saw and valued wisdom. Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8. Begin reading in verse 27. Proverbs 8. Begin reading in verse 27. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep. Verse 28, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep. Verse 29, and when he assigned to the sea its limits so that the waters would not transgress his command, when he marked out the foundations of the earth. What if God just withdrew his hand when you were at the beach out there enjoying all the waters? If he would just take away his hand, you wouldn't survive. All that water would come out and sweep you just away. God controls the tides that comes in and goes out. It shows you how helpless we are. And it shows you the power of God. Verse 30. Then I was beside him as a master craftsman, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in his inhabited world. And my delight was with the sons of men. Who was this? Who was this that said he was with God? And he drew the circle around the deep when he established the clouds above. He said, I was with him. Who was that? That's Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was with God at the very beginning of all creation. You have to go back to the scriptures knowing that Christ has been with God for all eternity. Brings us to our third characteristic. A teachable person will listen. Have you ever been talking to someone and they just, you think that you're talking to them, that your conversation is, legit and they're interested, and you see them looking somewhere else? Maybe they just decide to walk away. But a teachable person will listen. How often throughout the scriptures God's people heard him speak but refused to listen, refused to acknowledge what he said, and refused to obey and act upon what they have heard. We've seen that. You've seen people down through the years that set on the teachings. And in, as the saying goes the one through side of the head, right on out through the other. You think they're listening, but they aren't soaking what they heard in their minds. So a teachable person will listen. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 1. Walk prudently when you go to the house of God, and draw near to hear rather than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they do not know that they do evil. So King Solomon makes it clear, when we enter the house of God, our attitude should be open and ready to draw closer to God by listening. The scriptures also tell us that in verse 2 of Ecclesiastes 5, do not be rash with your mouth, and let not your heart utter anything hastily before God. So God wants our minds open and listening to instructions from the Word when we are in the house of worship. Matthew chapter 13. We'll read verses 1 through 9. Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13, verse 1. On the same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea. And a great multitude were gathered together to him, so that he got into a boat and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And I don't know, but I've heard people say that the voice travels real good over water to people on the shore. So he didn't need a mic to enhance his voice or anything, because the waters was there. He was on the shore. In verse 3, then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. Verse 6, and when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Then he sums it all up in verse 9. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Now these verses are closely related to those who listen to God and to those who do not listen. So let's notice the meaning of these verses. The seed is the word of God. The sower, those who teach. And remember, all of us teach by example every day. So what the sower cast was good because it was the word of God. The soil, which represents the person, has the power to allow or reject the seed, which is God's word, to take root by choosing to listen or not. Now in verse 9, Christ said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And when Christ uses this term hear, he means more than just hearing audible sound. When we read God's word using our eyes, God is speaking to us through eyesight. When we hear God's word with sound through our ears, and God has opened our minds to grasp it, it is the individual's responsibility to hear and consider and then accept or reject it. But there are many consequences for not listening to God. Proverbs chapter 8 again. Proverbs chapter 8, again reading in verse 32. And as we said before, you know, a lot of pain and sorrow have come upon people by not listening. Verse 32, now therefore listen to me, my children, for blessed are those who keep my ways. Verse 33, hear instruction and be wise and do not disdain it. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. For whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who sins against me wrongs his own soul. All those who hate me love death. God commands us to watch, search for him. Brethren, these are all action words. And he instructs us to do daily, because God wants to teach us. He wants to teach us every day. And our job is to be watching. We are to be looking and watching daily for opportunities to learn from God. Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. Hebrews 2, verse 1. Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. I have seen, you have seen, many of our loving brethren over the years drift away. It hurts to see people drift away. These people did not give earnest heed to the things they heard. How remarkable that the great God and Creator of this universe would actually want to communicate with us. And this brings us to our last characteristic. A teachable person will study the Word of God. A teachable person will study the Word of God. Now, we are creatures of material, physical world to which we relate through our five senses. God is a spiritual being. We, in our physical state, cannot see Him or touch Him. So how can He communicate with us? It's through the Bible. And over several centuries, God has inspired and selected a number of people to write down what He knew we would need to know about Him and how He expects us to live, all recorded in the Scriptures. And these writings have been collected into this book. This book, it's all in here. The Scriptures, the Holy Word of God, because it contains the sacred words of Almighty God. We know that, you know, anyone sometimes purchase a computer and they get this thick manual with all the instructions how to set the thing up and the buttons to push and what we need to do. But a lot of people don't read the manual. They read enough to get it set up, but they don't get the full benefits of the computer. I'm using this as an analogy, by the way. They don't get the very benefits from the computer because they didn't finish reading the manual. So the manual gave them instruction. Sometimes, brother, and I want to just mention this, sometimes we don't get the full benefit of life because we don't read this manual. In here is the instructions of life. We miss out a lot. We're not perfect. I'm not perfect. But we've got a long ways to go. And I say this over and over again. We need to stop dozing. We need to stop sleeping. We need to come to life, brethren. Life is ending, and it's ending fast. This world is falling apart. And I hope we can see that. God's not going to continue to let this world go in the state that it's in. We don't know when Christ is coming back, but we are to get ourselves ready to be teachers in the millennium. When it comes to reading the Bible, you know, we just miss out on so many of God's instructions that gives us a better life. Job chapter 23. Job chapter 23. Verse 12. Job said, I have not departed from the commandments of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. And then Apostle Paul was inspired to let Timothy know how important the scriptures were. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. It used the word here, all. It didn't say part of the scripture, but it says in verse 16, 2 Timothy 3, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So our instructions comes from God. When we study God's word, it brings us closer to Him. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Verse 12. For the word of God is living and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the division of the soul and spirit, and of the joints of the marrow, and it's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So the writer of Hebrews tells us that the word of God is effective. It is one of the facts of history that wherever people have taken God's word seriously, things has begun to happen in the best of ways. When we take God's word seriously, we immediately realize that His word is not only something to be studied, not only something to be read, not only something to be written about, it is something to obey. Because the Word of God is penetrating. It penetrates to the vision of the soul and spirit. And the soul is the essence of life all living things possess. It's by spirit that we think and reason and look beyond the earth and look to God. The book of Hebrews tells us that the Word of God test our earthly life and spiritual existence. The Word of God scrutinizes our desires and intentions. So we see then from these verses that everything is naked and open before God. We can't hide anything. God knows all about us. And so we cannot shield our thoughts. We cannot shield our attitudes. We cannot shield our mindset. All is open before God. Knowing that we have been called to become teachers in the millennium, we and ask ourselves this question. Are we teachable now? I don't know whether you're teachable now. You know. We can grade ourselves by recapping the four characteristics of a teachable person. Humble and is aware of his or her weakness. And know that there is always something we can learn from others. Number two, wisdom. That person will seek wisdom and understanding and follow the way of God. He or she will walk in the way of wisdom. Listening. The person will gain a lot of wisdom from others just by listening and reading what is taught in the scriptures and being obedient to the truth of God. And number four, But he answered and said, and let's go to Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4, the final scripture. Number 4 was study God's word, Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So, in conclusion, brethren, let's continue to prepare ourselves to become teachers in the kingdom of God by being humble, by seeking wisdom, by listening intently, and studying the Word of God. You can grade yourselves, and I hope we all had 100. But if not, then I know somebody that knows the answers. I know somebody that knows the scriptures. And I know somebody that knows the score. So we hope that we all can, if we came short, then we can. In all of these, brethren, there's no, in all of these four characteristics, there is room for all of us to improve and to draw closer to God. So happy Sabbath to everyone.